Got something to say. Brought to you by South Bend International Airport, offering nonstop flights to 10 destinations with close parking and short lines. SBN is the smart choice for travel. Fly SBN.com.
Welcome to Got Something to Say with Johnny Reinhart, highlighting the people and events making the news and making a difference on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome to the show. I'm Johnny Reinhart, and Got Something to Say is brought to you by United Federal Credit Union. We get you. And we're talking with Jillian Conrad from the Berrien County Health Department. And Jillian, we've been talking a little bit before we got on here, is that we're seeing some shifts in numbers and some case counts that we're not really happy with here in Berrien County, and we shouldn't be. But there are some things that we want to cover, and that is the numbers of COVID-19 here in our community, something that we were hoping not to be talking about this far since, what, March, but some bad news, right?
Yeah, we're not doing so great, Johnny, and we're really dismayed to see some of these trends going in the direction that they are. Like a lot of other places around the country and definitely in the Midwest, we are seeing a significant uptick in the numbers of new cases we have each day. In fact, we're seeing case numbers each day higher than at any point during this entire pandemic, going all the way back to March. Testing in the area has remained pretty stable. We have very robust testing here in Berrien County, so there's not been a ton of fluctuation with the amount of testing that's happening. And we are seeing a percent of positive tests increasing as well. We were hovering, if you remember, for about 8 weeks, right around 3%. Mm-hmm. And we are all the way up to about 7% of tests are coming back as positive. Without huge increases in the number of tests that are being done, this is indicative to us that there is a lot of community transmission of COVID-19 right now. This is to be expected somewhat, given the fact that restrictions have loosened. More places are open, sports are happening, we've been in schools, people are back at work, there's a lot more mixing and mingling, and folks are tired.
Yeah.
Folks have a lot of fatigue around wearing masks, doing the social distancing, they're just feeling really tired of having to keep up with all of that, and I get that 100%, but we're seeing the ramifications of some of that lax behavior.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's something that we just have to remain diligent. As much as you don't like doing something, much like when you were a child and you didn't like doing certain stuff, you didn't want to go to school or do any of those chores or things like that, you got to think of this as it's not just you that's being affected by this, and not just you that's frustrated. Everybody is frustrated, but everybody needs to remain diligent, because it doesn't just affect you. It affects your family members, your coworkers, your people in community you don't even know.
That's absolutely right. We have to get out of that mentality that, well, this is inconvenient for me. I don't like this. Nobody's really happy about any of the things that have been going on for the last 9 months, but we all have to continue to band together. Remember, wearing a face covering is an extremely effective way to reduce the respiratory droplets coming from my mouth and nose getting onto you. You're not wearing that face covering so much for yourself as you are for other people. There is some protection for you as well. But we are wearing face coverings for each other, for our friends, for our family, for our neighbors, our community members, people you may not even know, but you may be helping to save a life. If you are an asymptomatic carrier or somebody just experiencing mild symptoms, not spreading that virus is going to help continue to limit the spread, that we're seeing of this pandemic. All in an effort, again, to make sure that our hospitals are not overwhelmed, that we're not seeing death rates soar. And I can tell you, we are seeing some increases in hospitalizations, and we've had a few extra deaths over the last week and a half. So these are things that we want to make sure stay under tabs, stay manageable, and that we can really just continue to move forward with manageable levels of COVID-19 in our community. It's not going to disappear, but we've got to continue to try to limit the spread to the greatest extent possible.
Yeah, and it's going back to the fundamentals. I know back in March, we kept telling you to wash your hands, and even that seemed like, well, of course I wash my hands. But a lot of those fundamentals and things about your safety, you need to kind of go back and revisit those things and understand those things, not just, oh, well, I'll just throw this mask on sort of, you know, with my nose sticking out, or, you know, it's sitting on my chin, so it's there. It's back to the fundamentals and the basics, because those are the things that are going to keep people safe. And the effectiveness of the mask, we've heard many times through the CDC and in many conversations that, like you said, it is going to help quite a lot. And it's something we need to think about, too, is we've seen a lot of those positive cases being not just because things have reopened, schools have reopened. It's those family gatherings and those small gatherings where people are like, oh, well, you're my family. So mask down, put away, and I'm spending 2-3 hours with you, and that's not a good thing.
You know, and that's really hard, and we realize that's going to take a bit of a mental shift for a lot of people to consider starting to wear masks around those who may not be part of their household. So you're right, Johnny, there's a lot of compliance with masks out in public, at workplaces, definitely at schools, and we know that there are some well-controlled environments that we enter into when we go out of our homes or away from our family or friends. However, we see a lot of clusters of cases and a lot of spread of COVID-19 happening amongst families, amongst friend groups, churches, just get-togethers and gatherings, parties, graduations, weddings, all of these sorts of social activities are where we're seeing a lot of spread happen. So I want to put it out there now. It may feel radical, but I want to encourage people to start thinking about how you might do gatherings and get-togethers differently this holiday season. You know, there's probably going to be a lot of Halloween parties over the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Think about how you're going to be interacting with other people, where you're going to be going, who you're going to be with. Can you be wearing your mask, especially if you're indoors around people that aren't part of your household, while you're at that party? Can you try to keep 6 feet away from people while you're at that party? Those are things that we're really encouraging people to think about. And likewise for holiday gatherings, we've got Thanksgiving that's just about a month away, headed into the Christmas time and holiday where people are going to be wanting to get together with friends, with coworkers, with family. If you're headed over to grandma's house or you've got relatives that might be older adults or have underlying chronic conditions, please bring your mask with you. Think about protecting them from any potential virus that you could be carrying, COVID or otherwise, from those older relatives or people who might be more vulnerable. So I know it's a lot to handle to think about wearing a mask inside of your grandma's house or even in your own house if you have people coming over, but start thinking about that because that may just be the thing that will really help us limit the spread of this virus and other viruses as we move further into the winter.
And it sounds strange, but I've already started looking at Christmas-themed masks and working those into, and people are starting to work those into their Halloween costumes as well. And that was another thing that around this time of year that we were worried about is that the flu is also another thing around this season that we need to worry about. And you mentioned before, it's kind of like fluvid of something that is very, very similar, respiratory illness, that has a lot of similar symptoms. So how do you tell the difference with these when we're doing these tests and assessments?
Yeah, and it can be really tough. Like you said, they are both respiratory viruses. They have a lot of the same symptoms, fever, sore throat, cough, muscle aches, headaches, shortness of breath, fatigue. All of those things could be flu or they could be COVID. One notable difference with the symptomology is that typically, people don't lose their sense of taste or smell with the flu, and that has been one of those hallmark kind of unique symptoms that is associated with COVID-19. One other difference that is notable is that with the flu, people can start to feel symptoms even just 1 to 4 days after their exposure, whereas with COVID-19, typically people don't start to feel symptoms until 5 to 7, even more days after being exposed or infected. So there's a little bit more lag time between an exposure and the development of symptoms with COVID-19 than there is with the flu. Both viruses can be very contagious and severe among certain populations. One big difference in the vulnerable populations between flu and COVID is with COVID-19, we know that children, especially under the age of 10, just are not as severely impacted by the virus. They're most often asymptomatic or only have mild symptoms. if any at all. Whereas with the flu, it can be a very dangerous virus, especially for kids under the age of 5. There are pediatric flu deaths that happen every single year. We know that to be true. But still, you know, adults over the age of 65, people with underlying chronic conditions, they are still at high risk for both the flu and for coronavirus. One big difference between these two viruses that everybody can take note of and take action on, there is a safe and effective vaccine available to prevent the flu virus. Everybody should be getting their flu shot this year. We are still offering flu shots in our offices. We're going to be doing some community clinics coming up here. There is still no vaccine for COVID-19. And we know that there are other ways that we can prevent that virus from spreading. But until there's a vaccine, we are not going to reach any appreciable levels of herd immunity. Whereas for the flu, we know we can really prevent a lot of that activity by increasing vaccination throughout our community. Another important thing to note is with all of these viruses, respiratory, as well as lots of other things we start to see circulating this year, like norovirus or the stomach flu, those can all be reduced and prevented by taking those same preventative actions that we have been asking. Keep your distance from others, wash your hands, absolutely stay home if you're sick.
Yeah, absolutely. Revisiting the fundamentals and understanding all the things to keep everyone safe. And I know you've got a ton of great resources at your website, Jillian. Where can we go to find more information about a lot of the things that we talked about and more?
Yeah, start out at our website. Like you mentioned, it's a treasure trove of resources on all things COVID as well as flu. It's bchdmi.org. Start there. We also have a hotline available, and we can answer flu questions as well as COVID questions. If you've got them and would like to speak with a real person, we're standing by during business hours Monday through Friday. You can give us a call at 1-800-815-5485. And then lastly, if you do hang out on social media, check us out on Facebook and Instagram. We're posting there a lot. You'll see our weekly commentary on what's going on with COVID, and you can kind of dig into some of the numbers there. We post that on Fridays. So definitely head on over to our Facebook and Instagram pages for more updates.
Wonderful. Well, Jillian Conrad from the Berrien County Health Department, thank you so much for all the work that you do and taking some time to chat with me today.
Thank you, Johnny.
Got something to say with Johnny Reinhart, highlighting the people and events making the news and making a difference on News Talk Sports, 94.9 WSJM. Have something to say? Email letstalk@wsjm.com.